All right, so our first segment here, big opener for our show. But what we're going to talk about is why real conversations have disappeared in the world. You know, and when we talk about that, it's like, when's the last time two people disagreed and didn't try to destroy each other online?
Or even in person.
Yeah, or even in person. I mean, we used to argue over a beer. Now we block each other before the second sentence and everything.
Yell and scream, and we don't even listen. We don't even want to enjoy each other's company and then respect each other's opinion.
Yeah.
And I think the basis of that is fear. People are afraid. They're afraid they think being wrong means you're a failure or you're a terrible person. And no, being wrong is just incorrect, and it's an opportunity to grow. And a lot of people are afraid of growth because pain creates growth and change, and they don't want pain, and we spent so much of our time avoiding pain. So fear. Fear is the biggest thing that's stopping people from talking. Fear of losing friendships, fear of losing your jobs, because cancellation is real.
Yeah.
You know, you've seen plenty of people get canceled.
Kind of noticed that crap, over a few things, you know? Though.
Yeah, watching the Yellow Jackets.
Got Yellow Jackets.
You know, little other safety hazard at the range.
Yeah.
not firearms.
Yeah, besides that.
Yellow Jackets.
Now, you know, you touched on cancel culture. Mm-hmm. You know, we got a couple questions here. Is cancel culture the cause or just a symptom, or is there a deeper...
I think that's symptom, and
social sickness,
it might be signs of a deeper social sickness. It's gone along because, like, no one, like I said before, no one wants to change. They think they're ultimately right no matter what, and that's one of the biggest fallacies that we've told ourselves. Like, everything's okay, you're totally fine the way you are, you don't need to change. Starts in high school when you sign your yearbook, don't ever change. Yeah, you should. You're going to. Things change. There are things that I liked when I was younger that I don't like now. And things I like now that I would never have thought of liking when I was younger. You have to change. The world changes. You know, fear of that change is killing it.
And yeah, I mean, I totally agree with you on that. Fear of, you know, being shunned and outcasted and, you know, never being able to speak to anybody has offended a lot of people. And, you know, it's put them in their spot where they just don't want to reach out to anybody anymore.
Yeah.
Now,
yeah.
You know, when we talk about social sickness and stuff like that, I mean, do you think social media has made it easier or more difficult, or kind of thrown you to the wolves about trying to speak out or making, you know, forcing you to
Social media has
broadcast or defend yourself,
has done a lot for broadcasting to let voices be heard and let things out and get messages out faster, which is great. The flip side of that is it's simple to virtue signal, to say, hey, I'm this great person by all these things I want to do. I can put up, you know, a black square or this colored flag or whatever to show I'm down with something, but I don't actually do anything about it. I yell and scream at people on the internet, and I defend my position with vitriol and emotion rather than actually going out. When we were younger, if we wanted to be a part of something, we walked out and got in with it, you know, rather than just this social media of like, hey, I don't like you, I'm going to block you, like you said before, rather than just even listening and trying to talk.
I mean, I guess that, you know, leads us into the next question is, you know, when did we stop becoming curious and started being combative?
Yeah, that's actually a great question. If you ever watched Ted Lasso,
yeah,
he has that great scene in the bar where, you know, he says, instead of just being, you know, judgmental, should have been curious. And you might have asked the questions like, you ever play darts, Ted? Yeah, I played darts a little bit. And he proceeds to wipe the table because the guy was judgmental instead of curious. To say about when it started, I don't know. Maybe a few years after the birth of social media. That seems to be about right. It's kind of when people stop talking, stop being curious and being open to learn. It's just like double down on everything.
Keyboard warriors.
The keyboard warriors have gone. And I'm guilty of that too. I'm not going to sit here and say I'm innocent of any of that. I've fallen directly for that as well. But it's something that, again, we need to grow from, and no one wants to grow. It's freaking sad.
Yeah, I totally agree with you. And I'm not here to just agree with you, but, you know, being that I've traveled the world and seen different perspectives on things, there's a lot of things that come into the factors of how people are.
Yeah.
Tell
me about that.
Yeah, definitely. Well, that'll be in a later thing. We'll dive into that. But now, with that being said, do you think people are more sensitive or just, performative?
I think there's a mixture of both. I didn't even think about that when you said performative, but yeah, people are very, very sensitive because, again, it goes back to that whole line I gave before. No one wants to be wrong. They look at being incorrect as a failure, like, oh, I'm a terrible person because I was wrong about something. No, that's okay. You're supposed to be wrong about stuff. And I'm saying this because that's my perspective. I grew up feeling like that. Like, if I was wrong, I was failing. And if I was failing at something, that that was like equal to death. You don't need to live if you're a failure. You know, you're a terrible person. And that's not the truth.
Yeah.
Everyone has, you know, gone down and come up. I mean, there are so many people that are super successful these days that started their lives off as a criminal, you know, and they got themselves out of it and they changed their mindset and they're super successful today.
Yeah.
You know, so you don't have to be, but we're, again, we're afraid of change.
Yeah. Or, which leads us to the next part is, you know, truth or, you know, a trend is it more of a, you know, such thing as a truth anymore, or is it just, angles that trend better?
I think one of the biggest, problems we had in social, the social arena, social media, was the concept of my truth or their truth. And I saw where they're trying to go with it. You're trying to acknowledge that person's lived experience. And that's different. Say your lived experience tells you this. That's fine.
Yeah.
But to call it your truth means that truth is flexible. And truth is not flexible. Truth is. Just like, you know, what's right is right. What's wrong is wrong. You can't flex truth. So that was, I think, the biggest downfall of that.
Yeah. I mean, just going about, you know, my experience in living in China is, you know, you can't really, you don't have the freedom to express yourself online. But the reverse of that is, you know, people are actually having real conversations offline because, you know, it's not tracked.
Yeah.
And then people from all over the world, if you're online, they can track you. Just like, you know, in China. I mean, China's a great place, but, you know, with, what was that saying? You know, with security comes, you give up your freedoms.
Yeah. So if you give up your freedom for security, you deserve neither. That's that old Benjamin Franklin quote. Yeah.
And then like in America, you know, you have the freedom to talk about anything, but there's always a fear of the backlash.
There's consequences. Sure. Yeah. And that's the thing. I would like to expand a little bit on the flip side of your truth. And I understand emotionally where it comes from. It's coming from, like I said, your lived experiences and how you're going to view the world. So if you just are having a conversation with someone and you want to disregard their truth, so to speak, their lived experience, then you're not being open and accepting. So that's another side of it. So it is fair to grant that, but to call it your truth, I think that's when we start to vary on changing the definitions of words, and that becomes it's a different hill to climb, and we shouldn't be going that direction. Words have meaning for a reason, and they need to stay that way.
Yeah, I mean, the specifics and everything like that. I mean, and then you got the irony is just too much freedom.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Online created, like, you know, all the self-censorship and, I mean, it.
And the blocking and editing from, like, you know, your comment might be hurtful to someone. Yeah. And, I mean, you know, my existence might be hurtful to someone. It doesn't mean I'm going to eliminate myself from the planet because I'm offending somebody.
Well, that's the aim of it, but, you know.
Yeah.
In retrospect, we do. Mm-hmm. The role of algorithms, they reward outrage, not dialogue.
Yeah,
it's crazy, right? I mean, that's so true.
It's because anger is explosive, and as the great Andrew Clavin once said, anger is the devil's cocaine because it's super addictive, and you want to feel justified, and you feel this vitriol, and so when you feel this anger built up inside of you, you want to feel justified for having that feelings because you know it in your head it's not good. You know it's bad. You know it's an evil feeling because it takes control over you and it doesn't allow you to be logical and compassionate and actually be your true self when you're feeling that anger. So I've been there.
Also attracts other anger.
Yeah.
I mean, not just yours, but, you know, people around you, and it just leads to a bad fall of the dominoes. So to speak.
It repels the good around you and it attracts the negative, and then it becomes this bigger snowball, which ties us back to the way social media has been going.
Yeah. I mean, you know, here on my notes, you know, it's like, you know, compared to coffee shop talk in Asia versus Western X debates, you know, one builds relationships and the other one burns bridges.
Yeah. You could say that about social media. Social media can burn bridges. I've lost friends and family because of, you know, social media posts being, you know, like, since it's black and white, it's real and it's super legitimate. Yeah. Comments. Yeah. You know, I've had, you know, family members block me and don't want to talk with me anymore because, you know, I disagreed with something they said. And yeah, maybe I was a smart ass about it, but that's what I would have said to him in person.
Yeah.
And because it came online, like in text, it looks terrible.
But it's, you know, so it's better to be real than fake.
Yeah.
You know. I mean, you know, those tough conversations at the dinner table, but you know, used to you could talk about it without so much fear of backlash, and now.
Well, and because you were at the table, you were stuck there until you finished a meal. And then, then when you were done, the conversation over and everyone goes, hangs out in front of the TV and has good family time or whatever. And it was back to normal. But nowadays it's like, oh, I can just block you and I don't have to be involved in that. I don't have to have that subject touch me. Mm-hmm. And it's like, that's a shame. You should be, you know, engaging in that.
Yeah.
And I've actually tried to make sure I'm engaging in the opposing viewpoints of mine quite frequently because I would love to be so arrogant to believe that I'm right about everything,
yeah.
But I know I'm not. I have enough hubris to know that I'm not right about everything.
Yeah, exactly. Well, here's a couple of questions, you know, before we get ready to wrap this quick segment up. Are people less informed or just overstimulated?
I think people allow themselves to be less informed. The information is so easily accessible and out there that we fill ourselves up with just as much as we want, and we don't reach out for more. When we really needed to be informed before, it was fed to us in school or the news, or you opened up an encyclopedia and learned about it.
They taught you how to read the encyclopedia, dictionary when you're in, you know,
using a thesaurus, you know, to use different words.
Exactly.
And nowadays, because everything's so instant, you can verify or validate your opinions within seconds online on Google. Or whatever search engine you want to use. And, you know, within minutes you can find, and not necessarily just what's true, but you can validate your beliefs already. You can immediately, even if they might be incorrect, just by doing Google searches and prove yourself correct.
Exactly. Here's a tough question. Well, it might be easy, but is honesty being replaced by branding?
I think in a lot of ways, yeah. I think... back when we were kids, it was that if it was on TV, you don't necessarily need to believe it. You know, it doesn't mean it's real because growing up, TV was this new thing, and then it can become normal. Then, of course, the birth of the internet. Oh, I read it online. Oh, so it must be real. So everyone knew if it was on the internet, it wasn't necessarily real. Well, what happened now? Now we're at a point where it's on. I read this on the internet. I saw this on Facebook. I saw this on so-and-so. So it must be true. Is it? You know,
but it also bleeds into politics. You know, the big issue that we face today is, are you a Democrat or Republican? Are you liberal or conservative?
Polarizing viewpoint.
And it's all branding instead of, you know, understanding, you know, the truth and what you really stand for. It's like, what do you stand for? Are you just going to be part of a brand? I mean, we've been brought up that way since the beginning.
You could even go back to Jordans, football teams,
starters, you know,
are you such and such fan, you know?
Yeah. And we're all associated by brand rather than truth and honesty.
Mm-hmm.
And that's a deeper subject to get into.
Yeah, because I have some things I want to talk about on that one too, but
we'll bring that up in the next segment.
Branding. Social branding.
Maybe one or two more questions, and then, so what's the difference between speaking your truth and seeking the truth, like you said earlier?
So speaking your truth, again, is like speaking your life experience and how you view the world, or what you view to be true based on your rose-colored glasses, so to speak.
Yeah.
That's my opinion. Yeah. You know, I'm no expert on social matters, but that's my truth, to use that phrase.
Yeah.
But that's what I think it is. And then seeking the actual truth can sometimes lead to painful and difficult discussions and, you know, introspectives because, oh, I was really wrong about that one, you know?
No.
That would be seeking proper truth.
Yeah, seeking proper truth. But, I mean, it kind of leads into the questions, like, does the world need more filters or does it need, you know, more forgiveness?
God, that's a deep, deep topic. Yeah, that's a deep subject and deep topic for another time for sure. Yeah. Do we need more filters or are we loud enough? Do we need
more forgiveness?
Do we need more? Forgiveness definitely needs to be there. Yeah. I think we've forgotten how to include that.
Yeah, a lot of people have definitely forgotten how to forgive.
Mm-hmm.
So let's go ahead and wrap this up.
That's what I was thinking.
What we want to do differently with ZDA is bring back honest disagreement. You know,
we invite the discussion. Please come tell us more. Tell us where we're wrong. We're not going to sit here and get all vitriolic in the comments. If you're just being negative, we won't engage too much with it. But if you have valid points and you want to talk with us about it, hell yeah, let's bring it up.
Yeah, you know? Real talk doesn't mean hate. It means courage. And, you know, our goal is restore respect even when opinions clash.
Yeah, it should be done that way.
But thank you for watching Z to A. I'm Jay.
And I'm A.
And it's nice to meet you, and thanks for watching.
Catch us next time.